So 10 years ago, I presented on this exact same subject, and it is the speech that has gotten the biggest response that I've ever given. In fact, I got a Facebook request from a landlord in California who asked for my form, which of course I sent to him, with a disclaimer about it not really necessarily working in California. But so some things have improved, many have not, and in one way, things have gotten worse. So I think it's time to revisit it. A landlord subordination agreement for personal property involves three parties: the landlord, the tenant, and the tenant's lender. The need arises because the tenant wants to use its personal property as collateral for a loan, and the landlord already has a lien in that personal property. Most landlords don't care about having a lien in that personal property. It's not actually, it is rarely very valuable to them. And so they'll agree to subordinate their lien position. Well, that all sounds good, but the complications arise when the form subordination agreements proposed by the lenders expand the rights of the tenant lenders way, way, way beyond obtaining a first lien right in the collateral. But since these forms are often very short, the landlords just sign them. They think, well, what could go wrong? And then they find out if a loan goes bad, because they've just saved their legal fees by not sending the form agreement to their lawyer, and then they get caught between these tremendously conflicting obligations to their probably deadbeat tenant and that tenant's lender. So the purpose of this speech and the paper in the binder is to give you some ideas of what to look at and a best approach. And here's the best approach. The best approach is to use my form that's attached to the to the document. I have attached my own. I have trained my clients over the last 10 years. They won't use anything else, and they, because they've learned the hard way that it saves them time and money and pain if they just use that form.